ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We have entered into the third chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Bhrigavalli. The story is a marvelous story which we discussed. There was a great sage, rishi, called Varuna. He was a knower of Brahman and he was a married person. We do not know if he had many children, but at least one son was there. So this Varuna had one son. Varuna Rishi had one son and his name is Bhrigu. And this name Bhrigu we come across many references. One of the very angry rishis, he was also one of the saptarshis. And Bhagavan himself, Krishna Bhagavan, praises him as Maharshi Nam Bhriguraham. I am Bhrigu. We do not know, but we can take for granted, because Bhrigu also had become a knower of Brahman later on. So this Bhrigu Maharshi would be Bhrigu Maharshi. At that time, he was only a sadhaka, seeker. He approached his father. Why did he approach? Not because he was his father. So he must have heard many times. It must have been a hermitage. Something important we have to know, that as soon as a Jivan Mukta is there, many a time, a great hermitage will be springing up around him. If we really contemplate upon Sri Ramakrishna, Dakshineswar was one of the most sacred hermitages, because what did take place? On one side, real worship of the Divine Mother. On the other hand, how many people developed devotion, even those who could not come nearer to Sri Ramakrishna. Examples abound. We have Rashik, we have a gardener, and I narrated the story of that gardener. One midnight, this gardener, he could not get sleep, so his house was very nearby. Somehow he came near to Panchavati at night, and it must be late at night. Suddenly he saw a beautiful bright light emanating from the side of the Panchavati. He became curious. Slowly, he was approaching, and from a distance he saw, from the Sri Ramakrishna was sitting on the paved Panchavati, and a beautiful light, only light was coming from his body, which was illumining all the surroundings. And this gardener must have become frightened, because anything extraordinary frightens us. And he quietly went back. Next morning, Sri Ramakrishna voluntarily asked him, "What did you see yesterday night?" And he narrated. And Sri Ramakrishna specifically instructed him. And that instruction is giving diksha. So he told him, "Meditate upon that form. You will achieve everything." Were these only two? How many more people had recognized Sri Ramakrishna? Anyway, just because the context had come, I remembered. One day, a wandering sadhu came to Dakshineswar. After the passing away of Sri Ramakrishna, he met Ramlal Dada. He asked him, "Where is Paramahamsa Ramakrishna?" And Ramlal Dada became curious. How did you know about Ramakrishna and why did you come? Because I saw him in North India and he had granted me so much of illumination. And he asked me specifically to come here. So I came. Where is he? I want to meet him immediately. This sadhu did not know that by the time several years have passed and Sri Ramakrishna passed away. Ramlal Dada had to tell him he passed away. Oh, I took so much trouble in coming here and he asked me to come. And the sadhu became very, very sad. He refused to eat food offered by Ramlal Dada. You must remember, in those days, Dakshineswar was providing food for any wandering monk and so many beggars used to come. I am sure so many neighboring dogs also used to come to eat that delicious food cooked in abundant quantity, expecting some guests would come. That was Rani Rasmani's will by the will of the Divine Mother. So, probably 2 days passed and one day Ramlal Dada went anxiously to meet the sadhu and found him joyfully. Why did you say Sri Ramakrishna is not here? I saw him. He spoke with me for a long time and he also fed me with the most delicious Swargaloka, Vaikunthaloka payasam that was offered. You just see that broken pot, that was the pot. Even now, there must be something there sticking to the sides. I don't know. If I were at that time, I would have ran to the broken pot and scooped up whatever was touching, sticking to that pot and tasted it to find out how tasty it was. So Sri Ramakrishna is dead? No. He himself said, where did I go? From this room to that room. This room means physical body is not there. But in the Manorajya, the kingdom of the mind, anybody with devotion and longing can see him even today. So the Varuna must have been conducting such a hermitage. And then Varuna must have heard so many times the same teaching. But the desire to realize what was being taught by his Noira Brahman father, it will not come until the right time comes. The seeking must come only when the time is ripe. So he approached him, and this is the story that we get. Through this story, we have to derive certain truths. What is that? Never try to progress in any path, let alone spiritual path, but in any field, the progress and the correct knowledge will come only when we take the guidance of somebody who is ahead of us, whether it be science or arts, even cookery, even pickpocketing. So the time had come. He must have inherited tremendous qualities. Who? We are talking about Bhrigu, the future Bhrigu Maharshi. And he approached his father. So the conversation must have been longer. But the Upanishad cuts it to the minimum that is possible. Simply it says, he approached father and straight away put the question, instruct me in the knowledge of Brahman. That is what he said. Varunam pitaram upasasara. Upasasara means neared him, approached him. We have to derive the principle. Simply for Brahma Jnana, one doesn't approach. Even for any Jnana, if you want to be a musician, you must possess certain qualities. If you want to be a scientist, certain qualities must be prerequisites. Only then, from that stage, the teacher can take us to the higher stage. So, what is the thing we are inferring here? Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. He was a fit jignasu to be instructed. And the guru is a sadguru. This is called guru sishya sampradaya. And slowly, Varuna, he was also very cryptic, very concise. Why was he concise? Because he understood the quality, this much is enough, and this Shishya, no more a son, but a seeker, will do the rest. When we study the life of Sri Ramakrishna, we can see how Sri Ramakrishna used to instruct, this is your path, and you start from here. And it was completely individual, and it is different in everybody's case. Some people used to initiate, some people used to touch, some people, just by looking at him, he used to uplift him. These are not random acts of what we call, whatever thought comes in our mind, we, like children, we run here and thither, hither and thither. That is not the case. Exactly the Divine Mother will give what food is necessary at that stage of the sadhaka's development. So here he found out very highly qualified seeker. So simply he told two things. The first thing he said was, these are the means which you will have to use in order to progress in spiritual life. And then he gave a definition of Brahman, which we will talk sooner. This is the background. But Shankaracharya illuminates one point, what Varuna Rishi had emphasized. 5 times he says, tapasa brahma vijignasasva. You try to realize Brahman, that is, try to know who you are through tapas. We discussed also, usually the word tapaha means that which entails some kind of hardship. But in this case, no, it is not hardship. Any hardship is meant only for one thing. Why are people asked to be fasting on Ekadashi? So that the burden of eating, the time spent in eating, and the time spent in thinking about the food will be eliminated. And the mind is supposed to be diverted or concentrated on God exclusively. So the any tapas, any austerity has only one purpose, and that is to think deeply. And thinking deeply has 2 separate divisions. A scientist also has to think deeply. An AI scientist has to think deeply. These new ideas, creative ideas, we can see, we are astounded day by day, hour by hour, how new type of thinking is emerging, and a lot of both good and evil also is happening. But knowledge has nothing to do with good or evil. It depends upon how we use and how we become by using it. So here also, deep thinking, who you are, who am I, that is the main method Ramana Bhagavan emphasized. Whereas when it comes to Sri Ramakrishna, bhakti is the path. What is bhakti yoga? Simply to tell at the beginning, I belong to God. I am a creature of God. I am created by God. My parent, both mother and father, is God only. That relationship, don't forget, I am a child of God. And that is the essence of Bhakti Yoga. Any amount of repeating the name of God, they're all very good, useful, helpful, but the essence is to have the knowledge. I have nothing to worry. My mother is looking after me, and she is the Divine Mother. She is my mother. I am her child. It is her duty, and she will look after, whether I know it or not. She will protect me always and takes me into her lap in the end. This is the essence of Bhakti Yoga. This is the essence of, in fact, every yoga, to know who I am really. If it is Jnana Yoga, I belong to Brahman, I came from Brahman, and I am going back to Brahman. One day I will know that I am none other than Brahman. If it is Raja Yoga, I am none other than Purusha, pure consciousness. If it is Karma Yoga, I have no duties. The purpose of Karma Yoga is to get out of karma, not to go on doing karma. That is only for the beginners. But the goal is to know that I don't need any karma. I don't need any karma because karma always implies I have some unfulfilled desire. No, I don't have any desires. Why? Because I have everything that I desired, I am desiring, and I am going to desire in future. Everything is me. There is nothing excepting me. That is the goal of karma yoga. The goal of any yoga is to just remain, know who I am and be. That is the goal. So here, tapas is used. So let us, this is called Jnanamaya Tapaha. When it is said in the Puranas, Brahma wanted to create this universe, this world. What did he do? So, yatha purvam akalpayat. What did I do in my previous kalpa? And then he understood. This is what I did. Suppose you want to cook some tasty dish. And how do you know it is a tasty dish? Because once you cooked it and everybody appreciated it and now they want it once more. So what do? You recollect. This is how I cooked. There is a first time for everything. And if we go on doing it many times, that becomes automatic or a habit. That which is done automatically without much involvement of thinking or wasting time, that is called a habit. So we still just remember how I did it. And that is the purpose of vichara. Vichara means go on analyzing who am I. And we have seen this analysis. First, I thought I was only the body. Now I realize that the cause of this body is food. And food is not only the cause of me, food is the cause of every creature in this world. And therefore, the same cause is there. The same cause is the mother of the entire universe, which is called Virat Brahma, Anna Brahma. And gradually, this is, remember, this is only an intellectual conviction. But first, conviction itself has to be very strong. That is called Shraddha. And then when I go on doing spiritual practice, that is called living a moral life. That is called practice of truthfulness, which the father of Sri Ramakrishna, we don't know his ancestors, they must have done. So Sri Ramakrishna said, I wanted to follow the footsteps of my father, who was extraordinarily devoted to God in the form of Rama, in the form of Mother Shitala Devi, etc. So I would follow his footsteps. At one stage, Sri Ramakrishna declared, I never thought my life is going to change this way. I thought I will also get married and I will also follow the same lifestyle that my father led because he is my ideal. But something had happened. He was born for that purpose. That is a different issue altogether. So, what this guru, Varuna, is telling, he first says two things. What is it? This is your goal. That is called Brahma Lakshana, a definition of Brahman. And there are two definitions of Brahman. One is called Tatastha Lakshana. Tatastha means that which is there, right in front of us, visible, manifest, and that which is the cause of this visible, manifest universe, and the cause is always invisible, unmanifest. So, this whole universe is the visible definition of Brahman. That is why he says, Yato va imani bhutani jayante, ena bhutani jivanti, yat prayanti abhisamvishanti iti tad vijignasasva tad brahmeti tapasa brahma vijignasasva. And then Bhrigu goes and then he does tapasya means deep thinking. And as I said, deep thinking has two modes. One is an intellectual mode. Another is transformative mode. By meditating upon great people, I want to become great. That is the transformative mode. I want to discover some truth, but it has nothing to do with my life. I eat, I drink, I live like anybody else, only because I used my intellect. And this is a very important and interesting point. If I cultivate my body will become strong, healthy, nimble, and so many other benefits will be there. But how this body is used, that is a wonderful thing. I am just recollecting. So out of curiosity, I used to see the toughest prisons in many Western countries, the toughest prison in America. It is worth watching if you have time and inclination. And each one of these prisoners have committed unimaginable crimes of killing people. But what is interesting, there are so many qualities which I wish I had developed. First of all, they are extraordinarily strong. And even in that environment, they are trying to do a lot of exercise, which is unthinkable for people like us. And they are developing this. The muscles are so strong that they are cultivating their body to the extent that is possible to cultivate. Secondly, they are also fearless. So any person, even to hurt others, it requires tremendous courage. These people are fearless. They fight with each other, they kill each other, and they injure each other. Very common things. Gangs will be there. But what I am trying to tell you is these qualities of courage, of strength of will. I want to excel in this profession of Gundaism or whatever, and I require to cultivate fearlessness, that tremendous courage, that tremendous strength of the body. If we have those qualities, definitely we will succeed in so many things. So that is the point I wanted to make. Cultivation of the intellect can also fall under this. So a person may become great scientist, great musician, but it may not have anything to do with that person's actual life. That is the important point. Whereas there are so many musicians and they are saints. Mirabai was one of the greatest musicians, and she was a poetess. Marvelous poetry emanated from her. Tulasidasa, Sourdasa, Tyagaraja, Purandar Dasa. How many? In Bengal, if you come, then we get Ram Prasad, Premik, and so many other, Kamalakanta, like that. So, how we are using this instrument, that is important. So, if a person cultivates, wants to become moral, he has to cultivate moral life. But before we cultivate, we have to develop whether the body is able to sustain. There was a curious incident in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. A man started visiting Sri Ramakrishna, and one day Sri Ramakrishna lightly passed a remark. This man is never going to realize God. His body is very weak. And this man became offended at the remarks of Sri Ramakrishna, and he went back, and then he did not probably visit Sri Ramakrishna. He joined a gymnasium and he went on exercising until he overcame that weakness which Sri Ramakrishna pointed out. And then he came. Sri Ramakrishna said, "Yes, definitely you can realize God if you struggle in this very life." Yes, anybody can say, I can also say that you are going to realize God in future lives. That is not a remarkable statement, because everybody ultimately after 1 billion births or 1 trillion births is going to evolve and realize who he is, who she is. That is a different issue. But what is said, that first of all, I must know what is my goal. Second, I must know what is the pathway, the sadhana marga, and that has exact sadhana marga. That is what we were discussing in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. These Brahmo devotees used to think that they are not ordinary Hindus, not ordinary devotees. Devotees are weak type of people, but we don't worship the superstitious images of gods, etc. Even in the very first chapter, M was cherishing this kind of notion, God with form. Those who worship God with form belong to a lower category. No, Sri Ramakrishna corrected. Through any path one can realize Brahman. Through the image worship, through formless worship, and if somebody goes further, one can rise beyond both form as well as formlessness, etc. Jato mat, tato pat has many opinions. Opinion means, here also we use the word opinion. This is my opinion. No, we are, Sri Ramakrishna is not referring to that casual thinking. He is referring a strong belief which molds the very character of the person. That is called the opinion. So this is how a Varuna was approached by Bhrigu. And Varuna said, two things you have to know. That first I will give you a definition of Brahman. And as I said, there are two definitions with which we are already familiar. One is called Tatastha Lakshana. So some characteristics which we are already witnessing in front of our eyes. I see you. I see everybody. I see the whole universe in front of me. I know, even if I don't see, I can guess how big is the universe, etc. But this, I notice, all this universe has come out from something. But here also, something else it says. So this is called Tatastha Lakshana, or a proof of cause by seeing the effect. Whenever we see a golden ornament, we have to induce that unnoticed cause of that ornament is gold. Similarly, when we see a pot, this is made up of clay. When we see a beautifully singing person, a ustad, so he must have practiced for several janmas, not only several years in this life, several janmas, and then he is endowed with, Bhagwan endows according to our efforts. So that invisible cause is Brahman. That is the Lakshana. And incidentally, when Vyasa started writing this Brahma Sutras, so the very second Brahma Sutra contains this Tatastha Lakshana from this Taittiriya Upanishad, that is, so the Yato va imani bhutani jayante, ena bhutani jivante, yat prayante abhisamvishante iti. Only he condensed it, janma adyasya yataha. Janma adi means janma, then vriddhi, then laya, srishti sthiti laya. From which cause, that is called yataha, that is called Brahma, Brahman. That is what we have to understand here. Then, okay, this is my goal, but what is my particular path? And for that, he says, you have certain instruments. What are the six instruments? Your, first of all, your mind, your five sense organs, or in short, your pancha koshas. So you will have to use this to now find out where you are. Think where you are. This is what Yatishananda Maharaj used to tell so beautifully. If you want to progress, first find out where you are. And then only what would be the next step. It is possible. Many people do not know. They think they are very highly evolved because they do hours of japam. They study, they do satsanga, but I have observed it many times, and then they break down at the slightest depression, some difficulty. Oh, I have been worshipping God. I repeated so many times His name. Why is God treating me like dust, like filth? This is born of wrong thinking, wrong understanding. Where am I? That is the first stage. So what did God equip me with? You have a body, you have a mind. So these two are the body has got 5 sense organs of knowledge, 5 sense organs of action, and mind is given. These 11 indriyas are represented by only the number 6 are given, which we will deal. But what is meant is that body and mind is the only instrument. We have seen that. That's why the body mind is called Brahmapuri. Not only the body, the mind also is called Brahmapuri. Then what am I supposed to do? First of all, purify these instruments like a carpenter. He goes on sharpening his instruments, whether it is a saw or a chisel, etc., so that they can be used. Even a common barber, he goes on sharpening his razor before he actually goes to shave somebody else. Otherwise, there will be injuries all over the face of the person. So, you have been given body and mind. What type of body and mind? It's not an ordinary body and mind. It is a human body and mind. That is why Bhagavan Shankaracharya in his Vivek Chodamani, he says so beautifully, it is only by God's grace that these three are available, a human body, a company of holy people, and the longing to realize God or to know who I am really. It is only by a great punya accumulated in many a life that it is possible. So it is only possible by the grace of God, and grace of God is always there. But we must obtain that grace of God. For that we have to become fit recipients. And that is also a great sadhana. So this is what we have to, Varuna instructed. First he said, you have been given a body and a mind. Second he said that you will have to use these instruments to reach the very ultimate cause. And that ultimate cause is called Brahman. But Brahman has got two definitions. The ultimate definition and the proximate definition. This proximate definition is called Tatastha Lakshana. From whom this whole universe has come. He didn't say universe. He said all these living beings. Why specifically living beings? Because a living being is highly conscious. Even a mosquito is conscious. I am a small creature. There is a danger of my death. I have to be extremely cautious. I want to live. I want to be happy. I want to propagate. So asatoma, tamasoma, mrityorma, that unconscious prayer emanates unconsciously most of the time. So when a person says, grant me wealth, grant me health, grant me name and fame, grant me power and position, he is thinking, what is the cause? What is the reason? Does he want all these things? Do you want all these things? No. What a person really is telling, albeit unconsciously, I want to be happy. I think if I live a long life, I'll be a happy person. At the first. Then if I get money, power, position, honor, name and fame, power, etc., then I will be happy. So if I have companions, beautiful companion and beautiful my own children, whom I hope they will be faithful to me, they will serve me, when I am helpless they will help me. All this is meant only for my happiness. And this is a subject we are going to get in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In the fourth section we have been studying in the 8.1.4.8, fourth section, and within that there is a subsection called 1.4.8 mantra, that the dearest to everybody, most beloved unconditionally, is called Atma. Everything else will separate. The Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, puts it in a peculiar way. If anybody loves other than Atma, here Atma means oneself. Oneself means not the body and mind, but true self. That which never changes, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. And that oneself, my only self. It is dearer than a son, dearer than everything else in this. Not only dearer, it is the most near. And we will talk about it when it comes. So whenever any person says, I have so many desires, the object of every desire is not the object. It is the ananda. It is the happiness that one wants to squeeze out of that object. If that object perchance doesn't give that happiness, we are going to throw it outright. Like after squeezing all the juice from a sugar cane, how we throw out. Similarly, every object is discarded, including this body, which is the root cause of all our happiness in this world. Why do you think people have to die? Whether we are willing or not, it is to get a better instrument, because this instrument has become useless, like a worn out piece of dress. Vasamsa jirnani yatha vihaya. Bhagavad Gita graphically describes navani grihnati naro aparani. So this Atman wants to know itself. Therefore it discards this instrument, which has served some purpose in the past, but is no longer capable of serving me and giving me or making me what I am. It is useless. Now I will have to take another instrument through which I hope to get to myself, become, be myself and remain myself. So that is the most wonderful thing. So that knowledge, that deep thinking must involve first of all a definite idea. What is it I am really seeking? All these things must have been done by Bhrigu. He knows. I have experimented. How did he come to that point? Because he must have gone through many lives experimenting with marrying, divorcing, acquiring names and name and fame, power and position, possessions. He must have gone through. And then he must have also thought about it. I have gone through so many lives. Supana jupari, like a dream. How many millions of births have passed away? But I did not get what I am seeking. And then he becomes one day awakened. I am searching in the wrong place. So he comes to the right place. And right place is the first condition, which is what I am seeking is not outside me. What I am seeking is within me. That deep conviction. But how to ferret out what is within me? For that, there have been people who successfully did that. I must approach. I must humble myself. Humility means to get rid of all wrong notions that I have been cherishing in my mind all this time and surrendering myself to the right instruction. A guru is nothing but scripture. A guru has no independent opinion or teaching. It is the teaching of the Vedas, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, who has a person practiced it and he realized the truth, and then he knows he can authenticate these scriptures, any of these scriptures. It doesn't matter whether it is the words of Guru Nanak or Kabir Das or Mirabai or Purandar Dasa or Tyagaraja. It doesn't really matter, because all jackals howl the same way. So the words that come out of the mouth of a Brahmagnani are nothing but Veda. Veda means real knowledge, truth. So Varuna instructed, saw all these things. These are, we have to imagine after hearing this story that this is must have happened, not that my son has come to me and he is asking, I will teach him. So even Einstein has to teach his 3 years old son or daughter about the theory of relativity. He would not be able to convey until they grow up, understand, until the previous qualification is attained. Only the next step can be understood, at least intellectually. So this was must have happened. What are we talking about? Varuna was the Adhikari Purusha Sadaka. He approached a realized Brahmagnani who happened to be his own father, who happened to be running. So previously, Bhrigu must have heard all these teachings in the classes, but the desire for realization never arose in him. But the time has come very soon, and he approached in a special way. I know all about Brahman. Not that Bhrigu is for the first time hearing all these truths about Brahman, description of Brahman, definition of Brahman. He must have been really, really have heard these things many times, thought many times, but he was ready now. Like Indra, after doing tapasya 3 times, each time 32 years, then only he became fit to hear the final, ultimate truth. Then only he approached. And then, even then Prajapati had to tell him, you do another 5 years of tapasya. So 96 plus 5, 101 years. That means how many lifetimes have passed, God alone knows. So like that, Bhrigu must have been ready. And what he already knew, Varuna summarized into 3 categories. So he said, first of all, you must realize that you have been given the instruments for the final realization of self-knowledge. And that is your body and mind. That he described as annam, chakshuhu, shrotram, manaha, etc. Vachaha, etc. Second, he said, you must be very clear about your goal. The proximate goal is called Saguna Brahma. No one can neglect Saguna Brahma and directly realize Nirguna Brahma. So one has to attain. That is why first Sri Ramakrishna attained a Saguna Brahmatva. He became one with Mother Kali, who represents the Saguna Brahmatva. And then only Mother showed her other aspect, which is called Nirguna Brahmatva. Whether he did it intuitively or whether he did it in a natural way, by whatever way, he had to go through the bhakti mark, self-surrender. Surrender the self. Surrender to the self. 2 meanings are there. Surrender the self means this limited I, limited idea of what I am the body, I am the mind, has to be given up through the process of neti neti, but it can be given up in the process. My body is not my body, it is your body. My mind is not my mind, it is your mind. In both ways, it is to give up one. The duality has to be transcended by destroying it. Then only Advaita will come. So long as there is Dvaita, Advaita and Dvaita cannot live together. That highest peak of this Dvaita is called Brahmaloka. It is also called Saguna Brahma. And that is a better word actually. And then Bhrigu was asked this Tatastha Lakshana. The whole universe is nothing but manifestation of Brahma. Here we have to remind ourselves a beautiful principle. That is, the cause and effect will be the same. Whatever qualities the cause contains are manifested visibly in the effect. So if we see a pot, whatever the weight of the pot, whatever the quality of the pot, everything is the characteristic of clay only. Excepting clay, there is no other pot, no other separate object called pot. So if we can know from where we have come, not only from where I have come, but the whole universe has come, the whole consciousness is also has come, that is called Saguna Brahma. So that is, he said, that eto va imani bhutani jayante, and whatever is the effect. Second point we have to understand. What is the first point? There is no difference in the character of the cause and effect. Second point, every effect must resolve back into the cause. That is very important principle. So we have to go back. And in an individual way, we go back to our cause, that is called the deep sleep state. Then we are called prajna. We are completely ignorant of the body and mind. We are only aware I am consciousness without body and mind, but individual reflected consciousness. So that is the second thing. Third thing he said, now how should I use my body and mind? Tapasa Brahma Vijignasa. Your progress in spiritual life is that you will have to go on analyzing yourself. This is not me, this is me. And that is the speciality of this Bhrigavalli, which we will talk about in our next class. These are the hints that we have taken. Once we understand these hints, then it is very easy for us to move forward. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayoho Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.